Well, you know, for me, the action is the juice.
God damn Vikings! Nobody misses the extra point. It's only had to do one little kick and now I'm ruined?
No bitch to me. Bet with your head. No over it.
What's happening, guys? Happy Sunday and welcome to the Dynasty War Zone, the People's Dynasty Podcast. On today's show, it is going to be a Dynasty free agent frenzy. And here to share in all the madness is my co-host. You know him better as the freshly faded man of the hour and the man with the power, Jerry Sinclair, buddy. Free agency is here.
Yeah, which is just the beginning. It is just the precipice of the joy that the offseason brings us. I am wonderful. I did get a fade. So, like I said in the Patreon podcast, I absolutely have a punchable face now. So, if you are watching on YouTube, you almost certainly hate me more than you hate Randy. But other than that, I sort of feel like hell. I sound like hell. You keep coughing. I don't know what we got, but it's a hell of a time, buddy.
Oh, yeah. The constant weather fluctuations. It was 42 and super windy today. Going to be 60 and sunny tomorrow. My father, he used to say when the weather in Indiana was doing Indiana weather things, he would be like, if you don't like the weather in Indiana, stick around for 15 minutes because it will change. That's what we live with. Yeah, I'm coughing my brains out. You a little under the weather as well. So we're going to do a good show. I'm super excited about this. We were talking about this before we hit the record button and went live. I love this time of the year. I know that like rookie talk is more sustainable. It lasts a little bit longer. People really like rookies. I get it. This is my favorite time of the Dynasty offseason because this has to happen because we're going to talk about some of the landing spots and some of the things we want to talk about throughout the course of this show. Guys who have signed, guys who may sign, you know, and the impact it'll have on your Dynasty rosters. But Jerry, I just love free agency. I don't know about you.
You know, normally it's a mediocre time of the year for me. This year's a little bit different, though, right? Because we got a ton of running backs. And if there's one position that is going to get everybody super intrigued about every single spot, it's the running backs. Because it can completely change the dynamic of what a backfield looks like if Saquon Barkley ends up in a place. If DeAndre Swift ends up in a place. This isn't one of those off seasons where Donta Foreman gets signed. And you go, okay, you know, these are monumental shifts for a starting dynasty roster, albeit even if they're old, which a lot of them are outside of like Swift, but and J.K. Dobbins, who knows what in the hell he's, you know what, that's one that's going to end up in a place that's not going to matter. Love yeah, J.K. That, love him, rooting for him to prove me wrong, but I am going to reserve my excitement wherever he lands.
Well, and that's the right way of looking at it. You know, there are people who are going to be genuinely excited because their team signs Odell Beckham Jr. Super Bowl, baby. And he's going to be fantasy relevant again. I promise you. Let's get into our one commercial of the show, and then we'll jump right into the actual show.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer, so you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team, and then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing, and it's going to be well worth it.
There you go. Dynasty Dominator season startup. We're going to do a startup this week at our patron, patreon.com/Dynasty Warzone. Excited for that. People are like, oh, what kind of cool things do you add? I mean, we're very simple people. We like Superflex. We like tight end premium. We like starting 10, rosters of 25, not super elaborate, but super fun and a ton of good people. So Jerry, I want to get into good people, bad tweets, because I think this is going to be one of the parts of free agency that is going to be the most fun, especially for me. Now, before I bring up this Justin Fields tweet, I want to make sure it's known. I'm not a Justin Fields hater. I would never give Justin Fields the business. He seems to be a good young man. I'm rooting for him. What I am trying to do is remind people, because Sam Darnold was my Justin Fields. And it's ironic to see them going down the same. It's like, as we get into this rookie process, don't fall in love with these guys, because it's a blind spot that you cannot lose. And sometimes it's hard. So let me read tonight's good people, bad tweets. And this is from Adam Mason. Food for thought. You don't have to agree with me, but I've never cared if you do. My opinion is mine. And I see something extremely special in JF1. Bear down, everyone. We're almost there. Now, if you haven't seen this tweet, it went pretty viral. It's got just under 400,000 total impressions, which is pretty big. It wasn't as big as last week's tweet, which had like 5+ million before he deleted it. But Jerry, where are you at with Justin Fields? Because if you're watching along on Twitter from even the national guys, there doesn't seem to be a big market on Justin Fields. So I will ask you, he, as of like 6 weeks ago, was still in your dynasty top 10. What has this recent news done for his dynasty rankings and such for yourself? And what do you think ends up happening with him?
I don't think anything has changed really for me in Justin Fields. I'm not really surprised that there isn't a big market. Like, would you rather have Super Bowl winning quarterback Russell Wilson? Yeah, probably. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins, who's literally been consistent as all hell for the better part of a decade? Yeah. Absolutely. Is he a new sexy rookie when you have the first overall pick on your current team and one of the better prospects that we've seen in Caleb Williams? Yeah. He's going to end up in a job. It's not going to be a great job. It's, you know, I keep Carter, seeing that you like to say that he's going to be a Raider. And I think that's pretty good, because that it seems like it's a fit. Right. It seems like a place that'll buy somebody who's real sizzly. And then when it gets to winning and losing, not a whole lot going on. The difference is if he plays, which I think he is going to, he's still going to rush for 800 yards. And if he passes for 3,000, I've still got a QB1, and he'll just be cheaper for me. I need more people to just keep on hating him. Keep on hating him and bringing his value down. I don't think he's awesome. I don't think he's a game changer. I don't think he's long for this league. But he's at least one more contract through, and I can benefit from that.
I think Raiders continues to be my prediction. Raiders will continue to be my prediction. It's kind of like a game of musical chairs. You ever play musical chairs when you were a little guy, like elementary school? The music stops, you got to get the chair.
I was the little guy, so I always got, you know, hipped out right at the end.
Yeah, you would be easy to move.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kirk Cousins, like, and by the way, with free agency, this is how wild this free agent class is. If I'd have told you even 3 years ago, hey, in the 2024 offseason, Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson will be market free agents and can sign anywhere they please, you would have never believed it in a million years, because franchise quarterbacks get franchise tagged. They get the long-term deals. They don't get moved super easy. But here we are, and I know it hurts the dynasty community's heart. You can say it doesn't, but it does. But it does my heart good. The fact that Kirk Cousins may wind up being the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, it should make you happy, because it will make Kyle Pitts and Drake London and potentially someone else much more viable. I think Kirk Cousins to Atlanta is a beautiful fit.
I agree.
He knows that offense. Zach Robinson, I think, is his name. I know his first name is Zach. He's part of that Shanahan McVay lineage, and he came over from the LA Rams. So did Kevin O'Connell, current head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. So they'll speak the same language. They'll understand the same concepts. I think it would be a huge win. As far as my old pal Justin Fields, the issue I think teams are having is that if you trade for him, especially if you give up anything of real value, like a second, a third, et cetera, then you basically have to pick up his fifth-year option. You put yourself in the exact same boat, speaking of my boy Sam Darnold, you put yourself in the exact same boat they were in when they traded for Sam Darnold. And I think that's the thing, because when you pick up that fifth-year option, the entire thing's guaranteed. We're going to talk about Jerry Jeudy here in just a couple of seconds, but I still think he's a Raider. I think it's a great fit. Do you have any other fits that you think he'd be good in before we move on from good people, bad tweets?
I think Justin Fields is going to be Justin Fields no matter where he goes. I don't think the situation is going to dictate that drastically. I think his game is his game. He's going to run for what he needs to run, and he's going to be mediocre in whatever offense he's going to be in the passing game. I think he's fine. I think he's a starting quarterback, but you know, he's not the savior that we sort of thought that he could have been.
Yeah, and
myself included.
We are a couple of weeks away from me have been a Nostra dumbass, and I predicted that Justin Fields would not be a Bear in 2024. We'll have time for all of that. I will just say that as rookie season is upon us, because we're still going to talk free agents, but just remember this. Some of these guys are going to bust. There's nothing we can do about it, no matter how much we like them. Like, it was easy to see Quentin Johnson as a bust last year because no one liked him. Well, 10% of the fantasy and dynasty industry liked him. But no one's out there, you know, rallying for this guy. You know, we're going to talk about Jaxon Smith-Njigba here in just a couple of seconds. Yeah. But just remember, no matter how talented these guys are in college, someone's going to bust. Someone's not going to hit because, like, there's three categories. There's the out-and-out bust. There's the guys that don't hit expectations, and then there are guys who do exactly what we think they're going to do. So just be leery of that as we get into the season. So Jerry, I got new Dana White for you. We're going to go with a double piece because you know I love Dana White, and Dana White always, always closes out good people, bad tweets.
I'm going to tell you this: it was a huge, huge fucking clusterfuck.
Yes.
Completely fucking irresponsible. A shit show, dangerous, stupid, irresponsible, and just completely fucking ridiculous.
Cocaine isn't cheap. It's expensive. It's got to make money.
Thanks, Dana.
Yep.
I think he's talking about most of my Patreon leagues. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know why Dana White tickles me so much. It's just because you're not used to seeing like Rob Manfred from Major League Baseball or Adam Silver ever talk like that. You would never hear Roger Goodell do that. And it translates to good people, bad tweets. So there you go. We'll jump into it. So we already mentioned the quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield signed a 3-year deal today. If you peel it back, it's actually a 1-year deal. He's got $30 million guaranteed. The guaranteed money de-escalates very quickly. What are your thoughts on Baker signing?
That's a good move. You know, I got one of my bartenders. He's a Buccaneers fan. He's very happy that they re-signed Baker. He's really happy they re-signed Mike Evans. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, had the Lions on the ropes. They were pretty damn close to making it to the NFC Championship with the current roster that they have. So, I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm glad. You know, when we had to deal with Baker Mayfield as the QB2 overall in Superflex, you know, we both thought that was just dipshittery. That was just unfathomable. But, you know, now the value has sort of rebounded. He's in a good situation. He's out of Cleveland. He's got a shot. He's got Mike Evans. Mike Evans makes everything better for a quarterback. I like it. I think he's a solid QB2. You're pretty happy if you have him. And honestly, he's got a shot to sort of be that Jared Goff-esque sort of guy.
Well, we're going to, like I said, we're going to chop this up by position. I like it for Kate Otten. I'll be honest. I don't know that he'll have a Trey McBride type breakout, but I think he's going to be a guy. We saw flashes last year, their first year together. I think he's a huge winner. I think Rashad White's a huge winner.
Yeah.
Mike Evans just keeps on keeping on. Just solid. I'm very interested to see how this impacts Chris Godwin in year two. Like, I really like Chris Godwin. I've wanted to like him for a long time. But I think Baker, A, gives them some stability at the quarterback position. He keeps the division very winnable for this team. You're not super worried about Carolina. You know, he's better or playing better than Derek Carr. And we'll see what Atlanta does. But I think this is fine for the team there in Tampa Bay. So I will say this. I think Baker Mayfield coming off of the season Geno Smith had 2 years ago, I think you could see where a guy like Sam Darnold could get real interest in a spot like it came out today. He could be Minnesota. Maybe one of these other teams would be interested in Sam Darnold. Do you think Sam Darnold has that magic?
You cannot quit that. You want to talk about cocaine is cheap. That's Sam Darnold for you.
I told you, Sam Darnold is my Justin Fields.
I liked Sam Darnold when he was at USC. Bro had a cannon. I'm good on him. That's all. You can stash him, and if it works out, more power to you.
Why don't have to stash him? He's sitting like as my QB 4 or 5 on like
that's what I mean.
84% of my dynasty roster.
Ain't nobody else want him, so Randy can just have him.
All right. Well, what about Russ? You think Russ is a lock for Pittsburgh? If you look at the betting odds, currently you have to lay money. You have to lay $2 to win a buck. That's how big of a favorite Russell is. Do you think he winds up in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. Because from everything that we've heard about Russ and his relationship with Pete Carroll, it seemed like he was sort of coddled a little bit. And, you know, he got to get away with different things that the other players were not allowed to get away with. And I just don't know how that plays with Mike Tomlin. You know, he has gotten a system that has worked very well for him. I mean, even with the crumb bums that he's had for a long time and still doing well, I would love it. You know, I definitely have some Russell Wilson shares. And if he ends up in Pittsburgh, thumbs up for me. I am happy about it. I just don't know if Russ is going to want to do that.
Yeah. For me, I think Russ would be fine. I think it'd be really good for George Pickens.
I was just going to say, turns into that 1,200-yard DK Metcalf sort of guy.
If you believe in the gambling odds and you believe that he does wind up in Pittsburgh, I think he's somewhere between Cortland Sutton and DK Metcalf. And if you can get that kind of season out of George Pickens, that's a win. So if you believe the odds and you see similarities, because what Cortland Sutton have? I know he had at least double-digit touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
And that was Russ's guy. DK Metcalf was fine last year, but he's not been the same without Russ. He just fits that type. Like, everybody's got a type, right? Whether it's, you know, your dating profile, you know, you're hiring employees, you have a type. And I think George Pickens is Russ's type. I think that would be huge. I think it would be good for Pat Freiermuth. I think it would be good all the way around.
And he's used to getting sacked. I mean, I think he's like the most sacked quarterback in his time in the league. So that won't be anything new for him.
Well, and I know everybody hates the OC, and I'm drawing Arthur Smith. I know everybody hates Arthur Smith. He's easy to hate. He held down Pitts. He held down Drake London. He didn't effectively use – I get it. But when he was an offensive coordinator, he had Ryan Tannehill playing at the highest level of his career. And I think there's enough talent, especially on the offensive line and the 1-2 punch of Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris will take some pressure off of Russ. And I mean, Russ is like a super cheap RB3 right now, who finished as an RB1 last year in fantasy scoring. I mean, he had a solid year. And they're going to be
talking about? You said Russ.
Russ, yeah. Russ was top 12 at the quarterback position in points.
QB. Okay.
Yeah. And even though he missed games coming down the stretch. So I think Russ can be very good for this offense. And remember, they got to play against Cleveland, good offense. Cincinnati, good offense. Baltimore, good offense. In division, they've got to score points. So I think Russ might be the low key QB you can. What do you think you could get him for? A mid second super flex?
Probably.
Would you take that?
Yeah, 100%. People hate him.
Buy for that.
Yeah, I would definitely buy for that. I would probably buy as high as like 201.
Really?
For the last 3 weeks, I've been telling you how if I have 109, 110, I hate those picks. Why would I be excited about 201 when I can get a starting quarterback in a super flex league? Like, I can almost guarantee that I have at least my QB3 on a roster, and that's a championship level QB3. Would you disagree in a super flex league?
He could. I think it would come down to your roster construction, because this past Thursday, I hopped on with Alan Sizlowski from Roster Watch, Roster Roto Wire, and we were talking about this, and it's like, if JJ McCarthy gets taken in the first 12 picks of the NFL draft, doesn't he move up?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So then if he does, and then what if one of the rookie running backs lands in one of the really good landing spots like Dallas or Houston? Doesn't he move up?
I mean, yeah, but they also are not going to be picked at 201 if they end up there.
Well, but my point is that's where you have that quarterback decision.
That's true. Do you want to take
the older veteran?
Last week when we did our mock draft, Bo Nix went 201, J.J. McCarthy went 202. I'll take Russell Wilson over both of them, especially in Pittsburgh.
There you go. That will settle the Russell Wilson debate. Do you have anything left on quarterbacks, any quarterbacks I may have missed? I know Drew Locke's out there.
Woo!
Hey, you know, it's funny. In one of the Justin Fields tweets I reposted, allegedly teams kind of see Justin Fields like in that same range of outcomes that they could get with Sam Darnold and Drew Locke.
I won't go that far, but
hey, I don't work.
I mean,
in the NFL.
They probably won about the same amount of games as starters, so maybe.
I don't think I don't think it's a risk to reward ratio, the money versus the amount of years. But anyway, running backs, all time running back class. Are you excited for the running back class?
You have to be. There's absolutely no fathomable way where you are not excited to see where this goes. Because at any point, every single news cycle that is going to hit with a running back signing is going to change that backfield. Even if it's Austin Eckler, who's 106 years old and looked like absolute doo-doo last year. You're going to tell me everybody doesn't get excited about Austin Eckler ending up in a new spot? I bet they do. Saquon? Yep. Derrick Henry? Yep. Josh Jacobs? Yep. DeAndre Swift? Yep. Even the aforementioned J.K. Dobbins. He will get hyped up. Tony Pollard will get hyped up again. I mean, it is a very, very good running back free agent class, and it could not come at a better time because the rookies are fine. They're all right. But, you know, they're not blowing your doors off here.
Well, let me go with a hypothetical landing spot. So I'm going to name a team that I think could use a running back, whether it's like a complimentary back or a lead back position. And you tell me who you would like to see land there.
Okay.
The Washington Commandos. Mind you, they'll probably have a rookie quarterback, a couple of good wide receivers. They signed Zach Ertz. What running back would you like to see in Washington?
Tony Pollard. Because I don't really love Tony Pollard, and if he's on Washington, I don't have to worry about him. That is me just selfishly being up there, because I have Tony Pollard at the absolute bottom of this tier, and I think Washington is going to be crap. No offense to the Commanders fans that are listening, but no.
All right, I'm not going to say Arizona. They still have James Conner, but I think that would be an interesting spot. What about the New York Giants?
You could see like a J.K. Dobbins there or something.
Sure, or I think that's more of a rookie landing spot.
Yeah, I agree.
What about the Giants? You know, they're going to lose Saquon Barkley, and there's going to be this sense of, hey, we lost a guy, we need to sign a guy. Who do you think could land in New York and be good?
I don't know about be good, but I feel like they have made the decision that they don't want to pay a running back, which is why they're letting one of the elite talents in the league leave them. So that makes me think they're going to go with a second tier guy. I would say like Devin Singletary probably ends up there. Like I don't think he's going to be great by any stretch of the imagination, but it'll probably revitalize him for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Maybe you can get a little bit of profit out of him, but with what they're doing with Saquon's situation, nothing makes me think, let's sign Derrick Henry, right? Like they're just not in that sort of situation yet.
I would like the Giants to draft like a Braylon Allen and then sign a really good pass catching running back cheap, like Austin Eckler and Braylon Allen winding up in New York. It's basically needing two guys to replace Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
But I want Daniel Jones to have that pass catching back because Barkley's always been a good pass catcher, very good pass catcher. I think it, just a slight notch above would be an Austin Eckler, but like even a DeAndre Swift, just a guy who can catch passes in New York. What about Minnesota? They cut Alexander Mattison. They've got Ty Chandler, and really that's it. Now, do you think if they lose Kirk, they go more the rookie route in Minnesota?
I do. But also, if they sign Kirk Cousins, Derrick Henry, like just get me just the hammer of Derrick Henry, and then I have Justin Jefferson. Who are you going to focus on? Derrick Henry has literally carried offenses for the entirety of his career. And if he has a situation where he's not the guy that a defensive coordinator circles in the pregame, and it's JJ, the boy going to feast. And the way he plays, I think he's going to have some more mileage on his tires and he's going to be all right and he should be able to stick around. But now, yes, like you said, if they don't and they, you know, they draft JJ or whoever they draft. Yeah, I would guess they go rookie or cheap running back and they just try and patch it together for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it comes down to which quarterback they land. That's going to make a big impact. What about the Raiders? Like, I think the Raiders are a good spot for Josh Jacobs just to eventually re-sign.
Yeah.
You know, that they all like Antonio Pierce. You just saw they re-signed their center. I think they're going to wind up with Justin Fields. I'm calling that shot, too. Anyone else you'd rather see in Las Vegas? Or are you happy to let Zamir White potentially be featured in that backfield for a couple of years?
I would also be happy with just Zamir White being there, but also I could see Josh Jacobs getting re-signed. I could see DeAndre Swift ending up there. You know, I mean, it just when he's got that visor in the Raiders uniform, he's gonna be the coldest looking dude on the field, and I want to see that a little bit. But I think they're happy and content with Zamir White, honestly, and I am too. I'm also stashing him, so that's selfish of me, but.
You got to go the opposite of what you already have. Zamir White, big guy, kind of a bruiser. I think that'd be a good spot for like Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention the guy that I would like in Minnesota. For me, I'd like Tony Pollard in Minnesota because I would like to see Tony Pollard. Because, you know, like I said, Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, Zach Robinson in Atlanta, they all kind of run that same offense. Like, I can't wait to see Bijan Robinson in that same offense that we saw Kyren Williams in this year. At least for a season, maybe two. I'd love to see Tony Pollard in that type of role for a couple of years, getting that Kyren Williams role, getting that Kyren Williams volume. I think that would be tremendous if you're sitting on some Tony Pollard.
I mean, you'll take anything after this season.
All right, well, we've got a couple of prime landing spots. Now we're in the prime landing spots. Who do you want to see wind up in Philadelphia? Because I don't think DeAndre Swift is going to re-sign. I think with their potential salary cap, I think they could be more in the rookie market. But is there a veteran that fits?
I don't know the salary cap issue. But, I mean, you put Barkley on that offense, Randy. I mean, this is another Derrick Henry spot, too. This team is ready to win. I mean, they played for a Super Bowl 2 years ago. The wheels fell off a little bit last year, which was weird. But, I mean, that's still a really good team. And they have tons of talent everywhere. And it's another situation where you've got Devonta Smith and you've got A.J. Brown and you've got the wheels of Jalen Hurts. And you don't really have to pay attention to the running back as much. And so they sort of go under the radar. I would be fine if they signed DeAndre Swift as well. I think he was good enough in that offense. He is what he is.
We're getting to the DeAndre Swift landing spot. And for Philadelphia, I'm kind of cool with whoever. Because as long as the tush push is legal and as long as Jalen Hurts is upright, he's going to snag 10 to 15 touchdowns a year, which is going to handicap any of these guys' upside. The spot that I like, maybe my favorite, is Cincinnati. Word come out, just like we predicted, you and I both predicted last year that, hey, last year was a good year to have Joe Mixon because we think they're going to let him go. And here's the thing about Joe Mixon. Even if he lands in a good spot, it's a great time to get rid of him because the Bengals aren't cutting him or letting him go due to salary cap issues. The Bengals are like in the top 5-8 of cap available. They're letting him go because they think he's shot. And if they think he's shot, I'm happy to let him move on to someone else's dynasty roster too. I want DeAndre Swift. And very selfishly, I've never been a big DeAndre Swift guy. But I think in that offense with Joe Burrow, we've seen Mixon used in the passing game. I would either want Swift or I'd want an absolute hammer like Derrick Henry. Just Derrick Henry and Chase Brown, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Eckler. Honestly, everybody is fine in this spot. This is another one of those situations where they have tons of talent and they can just plug and play.
Eckler would be good.
I wouldn't even hate if they went the cheap route and they went J.K. Dobbins. Take a shot on him because we've seen Joe Mixon just go missing for chunks of a season. So is it really going to alter the trajectory of that team that much if J.K. Dobbins gets hurt again? No, I don't think it will because they can plug anyone in and be relatively successful.
All right, couple more good ones here. I think this is everybody's 101. I've seen Barkley theorized here. Houston. Houston Texans. Devin Singletary is a free agent. They could bring in a rookie, but I think a team that made the playoffs last year, you know, and had the success that they did, I think you'd want to bring in a veteran, especially because you can afford it. They've already re-signed Dalton Schultz. Jerry, what do you think about Houston? Who's your guy? Is Barkley your guy?
Jacobs. I want Jacobs to go there.
Okay, okay.
Because it's C.J. Stroud's team, right? Like, I mean, he is the guy with all of the buzz right now. And I think if Saquon goes there, he's Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's been that dude. Josh Jacobs is like the quietest superstar in the league. Like you really don't hear about him except for when he's complaining about contracts, which they should. I think he just does his work and that's that. He's a, you know, take your lunch pail to work kind of guy, go through it, do that. And I think he'd be perfect there. He can pass catch, he's a good running back. He's still relatively young, so if they end up being successful, they can keep him going. That would be my choice there. And the dynasty community would absolutely go bananas because everybody wants to see somebody in that spot. And if it's somebody they don't love, oh, that's the joy that gets me through my days.
All right. So I got two more spots and then got a couple of things. Going to have some crowd. We see all the people. Thank you to everyone watching live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Thank you for joining us via Player Profiler. Two good spots left. Baltimore Ravens. You keep mentioning J.K. Dobbins. We all love the Gus Bus. Noble soldier has been, you know, put in that work over the years, but it's time. I think the odds on favorite here is Derrick Henry. Who do you want to see in Baltimore?
Anybody. Anybody that'll play, Randy. I don't love Tony Pollard. If Tony Pollard ends up there, I'll be thrilled. DeAndre Swift. Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, you name it. I'm going to be happy about it. It's a spot that's going to be a little frustrating because Lamar will definitely take some of the touchdowns and you'll hate it some weeks, but in totality, you'll still be happy with whoever ends up there, especially if it's one of these bigger name guys.
All right. Last one. This is more of a theoretical. Do you think Kansas City brings anybody in, or do you think Isaiah Pacheco is the man? And if you think Isaiah Pacheco is the man, is now a good time to try to acquire him before that price potentially goes up?
I do think he is their guy. He is good enough. I mean, he fumbled in the Super Bowl, if I don't remember right. But, I mean, he's been good enough. I mean, you look at the pass catchers there outside of Kelsey, and they have been absolutely the story. And Pacheco was fine. He's fine. I don't love him. You know, I don't want to rely on him on my dynasty team, but I think he's still going to be there for a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a late round guy, just another guy to compete, because what they're not going to do is have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the former 102 in a dynasty rookie draft for some folks. some folks being me, idiots.
Was that you?
I did in one league.
Well, idiot. I'm big on Pacheco, and if you can go ahead and get him, I would. And the reason why I like Pacheco is I wasn't all the way sold until I saw the playoffs. And he averaged
hard
20 plus touches per game, way more involved in the passing game. And I like Pacheco for the same reason that I don't like Kelsey. Like, I think they'll take those older guys like a Travis Kelsey and not use him quite as much. I mean, he's not going to go from tight end one to tight end 21, but I think they're going to minimize his touches till they get to the playoffs. And I think they're going to lean a lot on Isaiah Pacheco. I think he's a great buy.
What's his acquisition cost? Is it 110? Is it 202? Is it 106?
I think it's 202. I mean, if you don't believe in this rookie class, and I know a lot of people do not, I would love to go get Isaiah Pacheco for the 202.
I'd probably go as high as like 111, I would guess, depending who's there.
You know, I would have been with you coming off of last week's show, but just that exercise that Alan and I did on RotoWire the other day, it was just like, well, if, you know, because right now it's a big seven, but then if JJ McCarthy gets that draft capital I mentioned, now there's an eight. If Trey Benson goes on day two to like Houston or a spot we really like, now there's 109. You know, it's going to push more people down. So I don't know that I would go as high as a first round pick, but I would love to get Isaiah Pacheco for an early second. I mean, as late as possible. And if you can't get Pacheco, I'll tell you, I would go try to get for like, especially like on rookie, like at your rookie draft, go try to get like a Najee Harris for like a mid to late second. Cause I think he's going to get a lot of run in that offense with Arthur Smith. So here's the deal.
I'm going to keep buying Najee Harris. I don't care. Everybody keep hating him. He's productive enough. And the more people hate him, the cheaper he gets. Yeah. It sucks sometimes. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes he gets you 45 yards and 13 carries and you're pissed off about it. I didn't pay shit for him anyway. So it's fine. Anyway, continue. Yeah,
if you're looking for like an RB3-4 type to, you know, give you some depth on a contender, I have no problem with that. So here's what we're going to do. I see all you people in the chat. So we said last week we would do some Q&A. And if you have questions, a trade question, rookie question, free agent question, we're going to do that. I just want to talk a little bit about the wide receiver class. What might talk tight ends, but I doubt it. Dalton Schultz signed. And I can't. My heart can't deal with another season of Mike Gesicki heartbreak. So what we're going to do is we're going to hear about the Dynasty Deluxe promo, and then we're going to talk about wide receivers. So if you have questions, start putting those in the chat now.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder where we look up on MyFantasyLeague and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe. And you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. So it's a great deal.
It is a great deal, and it's a great chance for you to get some questions answered if you have them. Just go into wherever you're watching. The stream should pull from Twitter. It should pull from YouTube, Facebook, wherever. So get your trade or whatever questions ready. Wide receivers, Jerry. Every year we do this, and every year we get a heartbreak. O.T. Higgins is going to be available, and Michael Pittman Jr. coming off of 170 targets. He's going to be available. And Jerry,
he had 170 targets.
That's awesome. in like 15 games because he got hurt. Remember, he got concussed in that Steelers game and then missed like the next two games. Yeah, he was that many targets. And then you wind up with a free agent class. Like, as good as the running backs are with Saquon and Swift and Henry and so many, Josh Jacobs, just so many exciting guys. According to a spot that I use on Instagram, National Draft Mocks, they have like a tracker for free agency, and their number one wide receiver on the board, Calvin Ridley. Jerry, where do you think Calvin winds up? And other wide receivers, they have them ranked in this order. They had Ridley, Gabe Davis, Hollywood Brown, Curtis Samuel, Darnell Mooney. That is your it is as gross as gross can be. Do you think that would you prefer your boy Hollywood, or would you prefer Calvin Ridley as like the prize?
I mean, Calvin Ridley is probably the prize, but I mean, Marquise Brown has been what he is. So if that's the role that you need on a team, you can plug him in and he's fine. You don't know what the hell you're going to get with Calvin Ridley. He's been hurt. He's did the gambling thing, which was stupid. He's like 30 years old. I don't know. Like I would love if Lions didn't have Jameson Williams and we could just sign Hollywood Brown. I think he's a better version of Jameson Williams, and I would absolutely love it. Unfortunately, that's not reality because we're going to keep going with him. But do any of these guys do anything for me, Randy? No. No, they don't.
Yeah, not great, Bob. It's just like Calvin Ridley's fine. Like Calvin Ridley's like New England is mentioned to be heavy in the Calvin Ridley market, which makes sense. They have nobody. They re-signed Hunter Henry. They have a ton of cap. That tells me if they go get Calvin Ridley, they're trying to set up a rookie QB. Hey, we got Hunter Henry. We got Ramondre Stevenson. They'll probably bring Zeke back on a cheap deal. You know, DeMario Douglas and just all those. Maybe they draft a wide receiver. But Calvin Ridley feels like a safe veteran to bring in for a young guy.
I would agree with you. It doesn't seem like it's going to be in a great spot. But, like, what is... What situation is he good on your dynasty team? Like, if he's your starting wide receiver three, are you a championship contender?
No.
Exactly. I would say you're not either. So then you're talking about taking up your flex spot or, you know, a second flex spot for him to be relevant. And if that's what we're talking about, a wide receiver four on my team. And same thing with Hollywood Brown. Same thing with Gabe Davis. Same thing with all of them. Like, it just... None of them, if I'm starting them in my wide receiver slot in the semifinals, in the championship, am I going, fuck yeah, I'm beating this guy or girl. I absolutely not. Like, I'm not confident in that situation.
I'll be honest. Especially if you have the good quarterback, I'd rather have Marquise Brown because I need my wide receiver three or four to give me weak winning upside. And we did see a couple of weeks like that last year with Ridley. But I think Hollywood Brown, especially in a new situation, and I don't know, he could resign in Arizona.
Yeah.
But I could see one of these guys going to New York with the Giants. They need some help. But these other guys, I mean, like, really, that's your big three. Ridley, Gabe Davis, Hollywood Brown. Then you got Curtis Samuel and Darnell Mooney, Jerry. It's rough.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's rough out here in the streets. Well, first of all, thank you guys for tuning in. So we are going to jump into some questions. We've already got a couple in the chat, and we want to get to these.
You know what? Actually, let me interrupt quick because we forgot to talk about one wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy do anything for you?
Oh, you know what? We were going to talk. No, not at all. Okay. I mean,
that's about where I'm at too.
He's really going to be like in like a fist fight for scraps with Elijah Moore. If anything, this puts a real governor on both. Amari Cooper is going to get his.
Yeah.
And David Njoku is going to get his, which means, and then Stefanski does like running the ball, you know, whether that's Jerome Ford, whether they add someone in free agency, whether Nick Chubb comes back. They like to run the ball. So you're really looking at being one of these guys is going to be the fourth and the other one's going to be the fifth option in this offense. I didn't understand Denver a little bit. I think but sometimes it's just okay. It's just okay to like separate because like Denver didn't really benefit at all because they got it's a full dead cap hit.
Yeah.
But I think there's just wanting to get out of there. So let's go to the questions. We got about 15 minutes left. We'll see what we can do with these. Super Forecaster says, just joined. We're talking about the price of blow.
Yeah, I mean, what?
I mean, it's always been expensive.
See, you could tell Randy is the product of the 80s.
Virtually inflation free, though. If you know, you know. All right, let's get into the real questions. T-Bone wants to know, where do Neighbors and Harrison have to land before Neighbors is the better rookie pick in Dynasty, Jerry?
I mean, listen, there's a chance regardless that Neighbors ends up the better rookie pick. And that's a conversation that people don't want to have. There's a chance that Roma Dunze is a better pick. I think there's a percentage for each one. Whether I have the balls to pull it off and take Malik Neighbors over Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't know if I have that situation in me, Randy. I'm not going to be mad at anybody that does it. And I know everybody on Twitter is going to go, oh, you're just overthinking it. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is generational. There's absolutely a situation where Malik Neighbors performs better. There's a situation where maybe Troy Franklin performs better. I'm not going to get mad at you. I have these tiny little marble sized cojones, and I don't know if there's a situation where I can pull it off. And that's just me personally.
Well, to me, they're going to stay 1 and 2. I think Marvin Harrison, I'm not like the film versus analytics guy, but part of Marvin Harrison is we get this a lot with really talented people. And we're starting to see this with Caleb Williams, by the way. It's Caleb Williams fatigue. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. fatigue. We've heard about Caleb for 3 years. We've heard about MHJ for 3 years. We want to see someone in that class with him, and I'm totally cool with that. For me, I think Harrison has a real shot to be a Charger. And I know everybody has him earmarked for Arizona at 4. Arizona, as a Monty Ossenfort, their GM, he's a Wheeler dealer. And there are real rumors that a team could trade up to 4 to try to get J.J. McCarthy. So if that happens, then Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to Justin Herbert. And how odd would that be to see Marvin Harrison Jr. coached by Jim Harbaugh? That would be delightful. I'm going to like both. I'll tell you some other landing spots that I think are actually pretty decent for both. The Chargers should be in play if they don't trade back. I think the Giants, they need a wide receiver one. Like Neighbors in that offense with Daniel Jones, if he's healthy, I don't think that's bad at all. You got a speedster there.
I think it'll piss everybody off, though.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's the whole thing, is that Daniel Jones can distribute the ball. So I think that's a good spot. And then the one that I saw Malik Neighbors mocked to the other day was the Tennessee Titans. Like, they're going to go all in on Will Levis for a season or two. And as once predicted on a podcast called The Dynasty Warzone, Treylon Burks ain't it, Jerry. So what do you think about Tennessee as a landing spot for one of these guys?
I mean, it's not going to tickle anybody's nipples for sure. But, I mean, it'll be his, because there's not really competition. And T-Bone mentions New England. With them trading Mac Jones, I think it's pretty safe they're going to go quarterback with that early pick, and then Marvin will just be gone.
But yeah, I agree.
There's a 100% chance that Malik Neighbors could end up in a great spot, and you're stuck in a situation where you're picking between the two. That's what I'm saying. Just personally, tiny little cojones.
I will be very honest. And everyone knows who listens to this show knows I'm a Will Levis supporter and backer. I do not think that I would prefer to have Marvin Harrison Jr. with Will Levis, you know, based on the way that I've seen to date, the way that I've seen Harrison Jr. play the position. But I think Malik Neighbors is more of that rhythm and timing. And I just don't know that Will Levis can be that kind of quarterback. You want Will Levis throwing YOLO balls, Jameis Winston style, to Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't want him to try to throw timing routes to Malik Neighbors. So to go back to the original question by T-Bone, I don't really see a spot. I do think Marvin Harrison is that good. Try to tune out the noise, and we'll reevaluate once we get actual draft capital. But I think regardless, you're going to get someone really good. And because it is Malik Nabers and it is Marvin Harrison Jr., you're in a win-win position. I think both. I think these are two of the guys that do not bust in this draft. I don't see a Jahan Dotson, a Corey Coleman. I'm sorry, it's not well. Jahan Dotson's not, Josh Dotson. If your last name's Dotson, except Rich Dotson. Rich Dotson of the Dynasty Nerds. I like Rich. He's good people. All right, let's get to Bruce's question. Bruce says, I just traded 106 for Garrett Wilson. How bad did I win this trade?
I am not a fan of Garrett Wilson, really. But, I mean, you won that trade. There's no – listen, I am a pretty avid rainer of hatred down on Garrett Wilson in that I think the hype has gone a little bit too far. But who are you going to take with 106? You know, the quarterbacks are going to be gone. The two – I mean, it you would have to like Roma Dunze more than him. And at this point, I think that is a gamble that is probably not profitable in the long run. But, Randy, crazy? No?
Not at all. I now, if this is the 106...
Like, I think it's close. I think about 106 in this draft class is not terrible. But
It's very fair. And now, if it's super flex tight end premium...
That's what I'm assuming.
You're very fair because the 106 is either going to be Brock Bowers, who I think will be overdrafted. I'm sorry. I think it's too high now.
Happens every year.
Come check on me in a couple of weeks when we get to almost May and we know where Brock Bowers landed. You know, if he slides to Cincinnati or the Chargers take him early, it's a different conversation. I've actually heard Bowers mocked to the Titans. But that being said, the 106 for Garrett Wilson's fine. I will just say I like to look back at this from last year so I can see what's going to happen next year. You know, every year someone gets the bump, and I was the one last year bump. Speaking of cocaine, I was the one last year bumping Garrett Wilson up because we had the question last year is how high do we think Garrett Wilson could go with Aaron Rodgers? And I was one of the first ones to say, hey, I think he could land into that CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, you know, Jamar Chase range. And that didn't happen. I think you did well, but you really, really, really need for him and Aaron Rodgers to lock it up. But I think you did well. I think you won this by like 65-35.
Yeah. And if it's a one QB, you clappered it. But
oh, if this is a one QB, that's a 211. Yeah. If you don't know police call signs, that's a robbery in progress. So in a one QB, the 106 for Garrett Wilson is a robbery in progress. Let's do one more and we'll get out of here. Unless a good one comes in and tickles my fancy. We got Alan Davis. Mims as the two in Denver ? Jerry, what are your thoughts on Marvin Mims? Another guy.
I would say yes, but how good is the two in Denver? Because we are looking at a rookie quarterback, and I don't know exactly how productive that is going to be. Now, it's better. Like, his situation has improved because Jerry Jeudy is gone. Yes. But if he ends up and they take, I'm just going to keep using JJ. If they take JJ, and or Drake May or whoever the hell they take, and they end up being Zach Wilson, are you happy about Zach Wilson's wide receiver two in his offense? I would say no. So you're hoping that whoever they take is going to hit and they're going to be productive, and then you can feast. And potentially he could be the one. He's on track to be the one in the future, which is nice. He very rarely has a scenario where he is going to dip. Because even if they take a quarterback that's poop, he's still going to be on track to be that poop guy's main guy. And he's going to have value. And he should have sustainable value going forward.
Well, we just talked about Garrett Wilson. It's and not that, you know, Gardner Minshew was poop, but we saw Michael Pittman get 170 targets. I would love for them to be 170 good targets. I'd love for them to be 170 Aaron Rodgers targets, but you got to take the good with the bad. I love Marvin Mims. I don't know that it was Cody who asked the question, but I know it was Cody who tweeted it out. and it was at the combine, and someone asked, and this is before the Jeudy trade, they asked Sean Payton about what happened with Marvin Mims, and Sean Payton just very, you know, forthright and honestly said, hey, that's on me. We didn't use him enough. We should have had him way more involved down the stretch. And when a coach is honest like that, like, it wasn't the normal coaching lie. It was, oh yeah, we're going to get him super involved this year. We're going to get, he was like, we mismanaged him. We could have used him better. He was, you know, he's a big part of our future going forward. I think Marvin Mims is a buy in that range. I mean, we've mentioned several guys tonight in that, like, it's like, do you want Troy Franklin or do you want Marvin Mims? Do you want, you know, a Donna Mitchell or do you want Marvin Mims? I think right now, no, I mean, landing spots for those guys will make a big determiner. But I think right now I'd rather have Marvin Mims. And I do think Sean Payton, and I do think Sean Payton is going to get him more involved. We do have a follow up question, so I'm going to throw it out there because we didn't cover the Jackson Smith and Jigba Tyler Lockett deal. So T-Bone follows up on the Mims question: Mims or JSN in Dynasty, Jerry?
I think they're both just stashes at this point. I think you're hoping for improvement from either one, and you're not relying on either of them. I mean, that sucks, but is that situation going to change for JSN? Oh, you got Geno, and DK Metcalf is still there, and Tyler Lockett is now there. So even if they, for whatever reason, you know, Tyler Lockett's old, he could get hurt, and then they don't want him, you still got Geno. And if it's not Geno, they're probably going to win enough games so that they don't have the 103, and they can't take a rookie. So then they're going to take the QB4 in a class or QB5 in a class, and it seems like they're in purgatory going forward. And then Mims, you don't know who the quarterback is. Courtland Sutton's still there. It's just, it's trouble. It's trouble either way.
I'm going to steer into, now, I don't think they're even in terms of dynasty, especially in the perception market. So if I could get Marvin Mims and some plus, like maybe a late second, maybe a 25 second, if I could get like anything in that range for Marvin Mims and that mid to late second, 25 second for JSN, JSN's gone. And I'm not going to go as far as to call JSN a bust. That's not what I'm saying. But JSN has not played to the level of his draft capital. We just talked about Treylon Burks, who was also a first-round pick, who they're looking to add. If he'd had shown Seattle anything, like Seattle literally wiped out the entire secondary, the two safeties, the guy Diggs who came over from the Lions and Detroit, someone else. Yeah. Yeah, they wiped out the secondary. They got rid of some of these older, expensive guys. And they said, hey, you know what? This is a new coach and a new OC doing this. It's not Uncle Pete. This is them saying, hey, we got to get Tyler back in here. We really got to make sure he's on this team. Do they do that if they were super-duper impressed with JSN? I'm not saying JSN's bad. I'm just saying that it could be a longer road to get where you want to get. It's like, if we look back in a year and Marvin Mims outscores JSN significantly in fantasy points, I'm 0% surprised.
Yeah, not
zero. Given that now Denver has major cap issues, they have other holes to fill, including quarterback. Jerry, you've mentioned it very eloquently. And if they keep Courtland Sutton, I mean, it's Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and Marvin Mims, and no tight end of record. So I think in public perception, JSN's more valuable, but I would rather have Mims and like maybe a little something on top. So there you go, Jerry. So tonight we did this from a theoretical standpoint. We're just going to talk about, you know, guys, situations, landing spots. A week from now, we'll actually know, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm gonna tell you
which means off-season trading season is about to be on us.
Yeah,
it's been a little stagnant. Them streets have been quiet. Giddy's still sending me some offers. I just keep declining them. But, you know, it's about to
shoot
get... Shooters do shoot.
Shooters shoot.
But it's about to get spicy. As soon as all those signings come, all the offers are going to come shooting out, and everybody's going to be right back into it.
Yep. And if there's anything that we said that you think, hey, this is much more likely to happen, act on it now. because the minute ink hits the paper and the deals are announced on Twitter, you lost the value. Like, whether you like Jerry Jeudy or what have you, if you were someone looking for a reason to hate on JSN, you got it yesterday. Information drives value, and it's not just in Dynasty. It's in business. It's in real estate. It's in everything. So the more information that comes out, the more it changes values. So I am really excited to talk about, hey, who am I going after? Who am I getting? We'll take one more week off. Maybe we'll do some rookies. If you have rookie questions, we'll try to answer a couple at the end again next week. Jerry will not be here next week. So we talked about this. We always do this on our Patreon podcast. It's called Before I Hit the Record Button. We go for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And you're going to go play in a pretty sizable poker tournament next Sunday. I'll have a Roto Underworld guest. I'll put the bat signal up, and I'm sure a hero like Dan or Seth or Theo or someone will stop by and talk free agent signings with me. But what about this poker tournament?
Yeah, I have had the itch for a while, and I feel like I'm in a good spot. I'm ready. So I got to drive to Council Bluffs, Iowa, which if you are listening from the Patreon, you know that I have absolutely no idea where that is. I don't even know which direction it's in, but I got GPS because it's 2024. It will take me to where I got to go. It's a $360 buy-in. Here's to hoping I win the motherfucker.
Yeah, if Jerry wins, he may give up Dynasty permanently and just go on the...
No, I can. I'll be able to play in one league with Dan Williamson if I win this thing.
Man, if I was going to play in a league with anybody, I think it would be Dan Williamson. Well, listen, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at JerrySinDWZ. He will be putting out there his thoughts on the signings and the impact on your Dynasty rosters as soon as this week, because legal tampering starts tomorrow if you're watching live on Sunday. I think we covered all of the business, Jerry. I think it's time to get out of here. You can follow me at DWZ Memphis. You can follow the show everywhere at Dynasty Warzone. And whether you're listening on YouTube or whether you're listening on a podcast, just hit subscribe. It's super easy. It makes everything easy. And that's it. Let's get out of here. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the Twitter madness.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.